بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Hazrat Maulana Masroor Rahmatullah Ali, he mentions one incident which was mentioned to them by Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahab Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentioned that on this, Hazrat Wala placed in our ears the story of one person. He says that this story also is worthy of memorizing, is worthy of something to remember and keep it in front of us all the time. Because many a time we too are faced with these situations, and by keeping this incident in mind, see, one is to listen to something just as a story, and the other is to listen to something for the purposes of our Islah, our reformation. So I remember Hazrat Maulana Ispat Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, he used to mention this, that some people, they read story books for entertainment, some people, they go to movies for entertainment, other people do other things, Allah Ta'ala protect us from haram. But he said, now, some people attend programs also for entertainment. Attend a program to be entertained. So it shouldn't be like that. Hazrat used to give advice that when reading a kitab for Islah, person is reading a kitab for Islah, then he must read it as a prescription. Not just to read it from cover to cover. Is to say, read each page 3 times. So ponder over it. See what is the points of reformation. What I need to keep in mind when I'm faced with a situation. When my nafs wants to run wild with me. My nafs is now making a heavy demand on me. Now what must I do at that time? So the incident is that there was a person sitting on the steps of the Jamia Masjid in Delhi. Those of you that have seen the masjid in Delhi, the Jamia Masjid, so it's quite a few steps to get on top, to get into the masjid. All around, it's a very big masjid. So he was sitting on the steps and he is saying out audibly, that means people can hear him, he is saying that you are not my Rabb and I am not your Banda. Tu mera khuda nahi, main tera Banda nahi. You are not my Rabb and I am not your Banda. So why should I obey your commands? So people walking out, people started condemning him. Look at this person. He's uttering words of kufr. What type of words is he uttering? Is he gone mad? Is he an insane person? So people going past, they are saying that this person is uttering words of kufr. What's wrong with him? Has he lost his mind? Is he gone mad? Some people are saying he has become a kafir now. Different statements people are saying. One person came out and he heard what this person is saying. So he tapped him. He said, Mia, in Urdu now, addressing him, he said, Mia, tum kya kehte ho? Aur kise kehte? So what are you saying and who are you addressing? So what are you saying? Can you give an explanation to what you're saying? And who is your address to? Who are you addressing? So this buzurg began to smile. He began to smile. This man on the steps now, he began to smile. And he said to him, he said, all the people of Delhi passed here. In other words, all the people coming out of the masjid now, the community of Delhi, they all passed by. And they are all foolish people. They're all foolish people. They passed by, some were accusing me of being mad, some accusing me of kufr, some accusing me of nifaq, some accusing me of shirk. Each one had a comment to make. But you turned out to be an intelligent person. You turned out to be an intelligent person. You decided to inquire before you pass judgment. So this is, before we get to the explanation of what he was saying, but this in itself is a big lesson for us. Before we start passing judgment, before we start saying people are like this and people are like that, we must first make tahqiq. First make tahqiq. And certain things, there's no need to even make tahqiq. Certain things, there's no need to even make tahqiq. Why must we make everything our business? Why must we make everything is our business now? So what's not our business, we must leave it. And if it is something that affects us, if it is something, then we must make tahqiq. Before we jump to conclusions, make tahqiq. Find out. Find out. Somebody said something. Today, so many problems take place. So many problems take place between mother-in-law, daughter-in-law. Sometimes the mother-in-law, for example, now some visitors are coming or something. Now she allowed the daughter-in-law to sleep till late also. Today's daughter-in-law sleep till late, some daughter-in-laws. Some are hard-working, some are, so the mother-in-law, now she let the daughter-in-law sleep also. She woke up early, she tied her roti, flour for roti, and she started making her one, two things, whatever. And then the daughter-in-law surfaced. So now, she told the daughter-in-law, she said, no, I'll be getting some visitors coming. Right? So, just see, put one salad together. And I made the, rolled the rotis. You get a chance, just chero the rotis, you know. So make the rotis. So the mother-in-law told her that. And the mother-in-law went out for tarim or went out to get something or whatever. Now she sent WhatsApp message. Maybe her sister sends a WhatsApp message. How are you? Send a WhatsApp message. Yeah, you know how it is now. I must sit here and make all the rotis and all the salads. She's gone gallivanting in town. Now the sister, without making any tahqiq, she sends a message to the mother now. See how she's suffering there in that house. 24 rotis she has to make. She doesn't find out what is the situation. Now she just tells the mother. The mother tells the father. Father tells the brother. Bicharo son-in-law comes to visit after that. Everybody got daggers out for him. He doesn't even know what happened. All looking at him, giving him heavy look. Sometime between friends, somebody just said something, he didn't mean it in the way that you are understanding it. The easy thing to do is to ask him, okay, by what you meant by this? What did you mean by this? Forget between friends, between husband and wife too. Between husband and wife. Sometimes so many statements are misconstrued, misunderstood. Each person understands it according to their mood. They interpret it according to how they are thinking at that particular time. And that may not be what the person meant. That may not be what the person was referring to. That person's heart may be very clean. So this is a big sabak for us. A very, very big lesson. That always make tahqiq. Before we jump to a conclusion, make tahqiq. And as I said to you, why do we have to be dawa zaban to? That everything is our business. Things that we don't have, it's not any of our concern. Why must we worry about now investigating every matter now? Are we a CIDs or something here? Nothing. So just carry on with our calm. Yes. Where there is something, you have to make tahqiq, then make tahqiq. Before you come to a judgment, before you come to any conclusion, make tahqiq first. Ji. So, continuing with this incident, so this person said that you turned out to be intelligent. You decided to inquire before passing judgment. He then said that, see, I am addressing my nafs. My address is to my nafs. I'm addressing my nafs. My nafs has been troubling me for some time now. My nafs is telling me, feed me some halwa. Now, if you traveled India, so, you know, everywhere they are selling some sweet meat. So you say, now, my nafs is telling me I must feed it some halwa. In other words, my nafs is feeding for halwa. It wants to eat some sweet meats. But how shall I feed it halwa? I don't have any money. I don't have any money now to go and buy halwa and feed it. Must I steal some? Must I defraud the shopkeeper? Or must I go out begging? The three options I got. Either I go quietly and steal a little bit. The second option I got is I can go and make some story there with the shopkeeper and try and deceive him and get some halwa out of him. Or the third option I got is I go out begging. Go out begging and I get some wealth and go and buy the halwa. But none of these three are an option for me. To steal is haram, to fraud is haram, and to beg is zillat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that to ask is disgrace. To ask is disgrace. Mustn't have the habit of asking of people. Always ask of Allah Ta'ala. After that, sometime Allah Ta'ala will use a person also to fulfill your need. But you asked of Allah Ta'ala. You don't ask of the people. To ask of the people is zillat. And then Allah Ta'ala leaves us to the people too. A person has got a habit always asking of people. Then Allah Ta'ala leaves him to the people too. But when we ask of Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will take care of our needs. Allah Ta'ala will see to whatever we require. Allah Pak will take care of it. So one Sahabi, radiallahu ta'ala, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had advised him, said, don't ask anybody for anything. They took the advices of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much to heart, that even the literal meaning too, they took it. This Sahabi one day, he mounted his horse. Right? Now mounting a horse is not like jumping into a car. Mounting a horse is different. Jumping into a car is different. So he mounted his horse. And he had one small whip with him. And that whip slipped from his hand. It fell down. So now he got off the horse again. Got off the horse, he picked up the whip, went back onto the horse. So another Sahabi was close by. He said, you should have just asked me, I would have passed it to you. It wouldn't have been any difficulty for me. For you now, so much of work to get off the horse again, now pick up the whip and then mount the horse again. I was down. You just asked me, I passed it to you. I can just give it to you. It's a simple thing, easy thing. The whip is not something that is heavy. It wouldn't have taken much effort. So he said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me, mustn't ask anything of anyone. So even that, to that extent too, won't ask. If I can do it myself, I'll do it myself. I won't ask. So this person, he said that all three options are not an option for me. I can't steal is haram. I can't defraud, that too is haram. And to go around begging now, that is not the right thing to do. That is disgrace and embarrassment. So I am telling my nafs, I'm telling my nafs that you are not my Rabb. And I am not your banda. I'm not your slave. So why should I obey your commands? You commanding me to go and get halwa, why must I obey you? So this is something that we must keep in our mind. Every time the nafs wants us to do something that is inappropriate, or the nafs wants us worse to do something that is of a sinful nature. So same time we must address our nafs. You are not my Rabb. You are not my Rabb. I am not your banda. Why must I listen to you? Now, when we must do this? When the nafs is enticing us to look at some haram on the cell phone. The nafs is enticing us now to look at haram. So that time I must put the phone away and I must tell my nafs, you are not my Rabb. I am not your banda. Why I must listen to you? When the nafs wants me to get angry, something happened that's against my temperament, now I'm getting angry. A person says, oh, but Maulana, you know, he ticked me off. So obviously, that's when you get angry. So that's when you have to control the anger. You don't have to control the anger when everybody puts you in a good mood. If nobody ticked you off, nobody did something that is against your temperament, then is there any reason to get angry? If a person gets angry at that time, then he is a candidate for the asylum, right? There's no reason for him to get angry, and he's getting angry. So the only time a person is going to get angry is when there's something that is against his temperament. Something is going against his temperament. So at that time, a person has to tell his nafs, you're not my Rabb. I'm not your banda. Why I must listen to you now? You want me to get angry? Why I must listen to you? So each person, he will, in his situation, the nafs will make different demands. A businessman sometime, the nafs wants him to buy stolen goods, backdoor goods. A working class person, the nafs wants him to steal from his company, whether it's to steal time, whatever. Fajr time, we know what song the nafs is singing. Fajr time, one more minute. What song the nafs is singing. So at all times when the nafs is making a demand on us, at that time we must tell the nafs, you are not my Rabb, I am not your banda. Why must I obey your command? We must remember, Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Imam Masullah Rahmatullah Ali is telling us here that the real culprit is not shaitan. The real culprit is the nafs. The real culprit is the nafs. Because it is the nafs that even made shaitan into shaitan. Because before shaitan, there was no shaitan. Before shaitan, there was no shaitan. But what happened is this Azazil, this jinn by the name of Azazil, who then became shaitan, he developed pride. He developed pride. Right? Now when he developed pride, and Allah Ta'ala instructed that sajda needs to be made to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Sajda must be made to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. So he didn't want to make this sajda. Right? Why? Because of pride. Pride was inside. It's like even us today, why we don't want to follow a law. Whether a person is a working class, whether a person is in an institute, whatever, a wife in a marriage, right? Why we don't want to follow a law is pride. If in the home the father has to make a rule and the son doesn't want to follow that rule, what is stopping him from following that rule is pride. He don't want to lower himself. He doesn't want to lower himself, submit himself to the law of the father who is the Amir of the house. Provided obviously it is within the parameters of the Shariat. In an institute type of situation, the institute has got rules. Now if a student doesn't follow the rule, why he doesn't want to follow the rule? He considers himself above the law. Who are they to tell me I must do this and that? I'll do what I feel like doing. I'll do what I want to do. So what is that? Isn't that his kibar? That is pride. In a working situation, the owner of the store, the CEO of the company or the manager or whatever, so he makes certain rules. And if the worker doesn't want to follow those rules, why he don't want to follow those rules? Because of pride. So what I must listen to him for? Who he thinks to tell me to do this and that? So this pride is a very serious guna. And pride is a thing a person doesn't know he got it until the test comes. Pride is such a serious cancer, spiritual cancer, but a person doesn't know he got it till the test comes. You see, Azazel, he was enjoying himself. He's giving bayans to the malaika and he's living it up there in the company of the angels. He was not ignorant. Azazel was not ignorant. He was a person of knowledge, right? But when Allah Ta'ala instructed that he must make the sajda, right? Now came the test. You see, up until that time, everything was fine. See, we are also like that. As long as people are patting us on the back, shabash, imana, what a talk, imana, I benefited from this and that, then we're flying high now. Everything is fine. But let somebody come and tell us, I don't agree with you. Or you know, a very ignorant statement you made. What statement? Now, I'll pull out the kitab. I'll show you. Now, why we have to react like that now? Why we have to react like that? Because the pride is getting hurt. Who this person thinks is coming to take out my mistake? A man also sometimes, he gets so upset with his wife. So upset. She just told him one thing. Some small thing she didn't listen or something. Now he gets so upset. Right? That he sometimes even beats his wife up. Even beats his wife up. What a terrible thing. What's the underlying reason? Pride. She can't watch her tongue. Who she thinks she's talking to? So as soon as we have to talk like that or think like that, what this thing thinks of herself? Who she thinks she's talking to? So immediately we are thinking we are somebody, right? We are thinking I am somebody. That's why who she thinks she's talking to? You see? So this pride is a very, very dangerous thing. So Shaitan, he had pride. So now, when Allah Ta'ala's hukam came, he got proud of his knowledge. He was boastful. He forgot where the command is coming from. He was got so full of himself that he's not seeing where is this command coming from. The one who gave me all the bounties, the command is coming from him, and now I'm defying him. And now to defy him, you start using logic. Start using logic. You see where the pride takes a person? Instead of complying with the command, I must use my logic now to justify my action. So what he says, have I not seen that Adam alayhi salam was created from sand, whereas I am created from fire? See, this is logic now. He is using his logic. That Adam alayhi salam is created from sand, I am created from fire. So in other words, sand is something that is inferior, fire is something that is superior. So how can I now bow down to him now? This is logic. Person is using his logic. He's using his own findings. Right? He's using his own knowledge. His self-taught knowledge. Allah Ta'ala is saying, لَقَدْ خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ. Allah has created insan in the best of forms. Insan is his ashraful makhluqat, his best creation. But now, shaitan, using his logic, he's coming to a different answer. What did they say? Conclusion. He's coming to a different conclusion using his logic. So the same thing happens today. Same thing happens today. A person goes, sometime he can study ilm also, study deen. He can study deen. And he's very intelligent. Very, very intelligent. In madrasa, he was acing all the papers and everything. Right? Now, he gets carried away with his intelligence. And now he starts using his own logic. Then he starts coming to the conclusion that no, even my ustads were wrong too. Even my ustads were wrong too. This is supposed to be the way. He comes to those conclusions in his head. That even these elders know what they know. They just sitting there in the Darul Uloom whole time, teaching kitabs and all. They don't know how to be with the politicians and how to be on in, you know, with the public and the community and how to be a public figure and all. They don't understand these concepts. So his logic brings him to that. His own reasoning brings him to those answers. Then he forgets what is Allah's command, what is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sunnah. All that is put one side. Because he's carried away with himself. A person goes, he studies medicine. Now he say, but I got such high marks. Nobody in the country got those kind of marks. And this company, so many companies were fawning over themselves to give me bursary. And I went and studied in the varsity. And my theses and all that made it to the medical journals. So now he comes to a conclusion with regards to a certain, you know, thing in medicine. Now, even though that conclusion may be totally against deen, totally against shariat, but he is gone now so full of himself, so how can I be wrong? How can I be wrong? So his logic and his reasoning brings him to that. So I'm a professor, medical professor, how can I be wrong? So shaitan also used his logic. That I am created from fire and Adam alayhi salam is created from sand. So how can I now, the superior one, make sajda to him? So he's justifying his defiance through his logic. So what we learn from here is the primary culprit is our own nafs, not even shaitan. Primary culprit is our own nafs. Shaitan just gives support. Shaitan gives support. Shaitan just spurs a person on. But the main culprit is the nafs. This is why this Buzurg said that it is my nafs that is demanding me to eat the halwa. Well, halwa is not haram. Halwa is not napak. It's not a guna to eat halwa. But on the other hand, is it wajib to eat? Is not wajib to eat it too? It's not compulsory, it's not sunnat, it's not mustahab. It is eaten merely to fulfill a desire or to put something in the stomach. So seeing that the eating of halwa has no status in the Sharia, where is it permissible to beg to obtain it? Why must I go and beg now? Make some plan, somehow I must get that thing. Today's time, you know, when it comes to our deen, then at the drop of a hat, we will leave something out. At the drop of a hat. So now, you know, we can't do it, just leave it now, it's fine, you know. But when it comes to dunya, a person is looking for a certain jacket, for example, right? And now they don't have his size in the store in his town, that particular store, that chain store, whatever, he goes there, he sees that jacket, he likes that jacket, they don't have his size. What about your other stores? Can I buy it online? You can't order it for me. When it comes to dunya, now a person is prepared to use all his resources. Everything, his akal works. How am I going to get it? Allah maaf kare. You see, like, for example, now a person is fanatical about his firearm or whatever. Right? Now that firearm, if he just buys it off the shelf, it can work. It can do what it needs to do. But no, that's not enough. That's not enough. No, I need this shield. I need that, this. I need this, that. Although, after it is all that, it still can only do what it could do when he just took it off the shelf. But namaz time, say, no, you know what? There's 13 sunnats in wuzu. What about the mustahabbat? What about the makruh? I need, my namaz must be armored, man. I must have special sights that must cause me to concentrate. No, that all we not worried about. Motor car is same story. The person buys a motor car. The motor car, what it can do, no, but I want this kind rims. Yeah? And now the fellow is even making the bonnet pink too. Right? Funny things, rapping like this and doing like that. The exhaust must make this kind sound and this kind lights and that kind. So many funny things when it comes to his motor car. But when it comes to our deen, then the bare minimum will do. The bare minimum will do. And if there's some small concession, I leave it short. You don't have to do it. Why? You won't get guna if you don't do it. Short, they leave it. But when it comes to dunya, we'll go out of our way. Just see now, if there's a little bit threat that, you know what, there can be some looting, there can be some problem and whatever. Allah Ta'ala protect us all. I don't say you mustn't be prepared and you mustn't be ready and all that. That's also part of our deen. But if there's little bit, right? So there's various ways to protect ourselves. The first protection is 5-time namaz. Get closer to Allah Ta'ala. Start istighfar. Start ta'lim in our homes. All come on to sunnah. Come on to deen. That is the main thing, right? But that, if we really analyze it, we still where we were. From before the boycott, the riots, and after the riots, we still, where we were that time, we still same place. But when it comes to how we have now armed ourselves, how we have barricaded our shops, how we have put more alarm systems, and we put more steel structures, and how many more guns we bought, how much more ammunition we bought. That, how much of effort is made? How much of effort is made? But in this department, not even 10% the effort. So why the imbalance? Why the imbalance? It's a major imbalance. So when it comes to our deen, that must be the primary thing. And it is this nafs, you know, the nafs that holds us. The nafs pulls us back. The nafs pulls us back. And shaitan just gives 1-2 kicks along the way. As you're falling, kick you in the teeth. You know, that's shaitan's job. As you're slipping off the cliff, just give him one push. Let him go quicker. That's all Shaitan does. But the main culprit is the nafs. We have to fight the nafs. There's no other way out. You've got to fight the nafs. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. The other day one brother, he sent me, I think I told you people, he sent one message, say now, can I eat lunch bar now? So I told him, I said, bhai, please have lunch. How much lunch you want to have? Just don't go to the bar, you know. Have lunch, how much you want, just don't go to the bar, then it becomes a problem, right? But now, so much fikr over one chocolate. Now, if you give up that one chocolate, what's the problem, bhai? But I'm missing takbir-e-ula, where's the fikr? If I miss my takbir-e-ula, where's my fikr? Then I'm missing my takbir-e-ula. But now that one chocolate, the other 50 chocolates they are on the market now, if I don't have that lunch bar, it's not going to affect my life. Now, so many people phoning, they want to know, Maulana, this one politician died now. Did she die Muslim or she didn't die Muslim? I say, Baba, she finished die. She finished die. However she died, Allah Ta'ala knows. Why you got so much fikr for that now? Why you got so much fikr for this now? The ulama, they have got their duty to educate the ummah and all that. They are doing their duty. But why you got so much fikr about this thing? You have fikr whether you gonna die on iman. I must have fikr whether I'm gonna die on iman. Let us concentrate on that. She's gone now. She's finished. So that from somebody needed to know a masla or something. They found out from the ulama, khalas. Right? They found out the masla and the story is over. But now so much discussion over this now. So much discussion. Every meal. This now everybody is discussing. But sahaba nanum, they were meeting one another. Come, let's sit for a short while and make our iman fresh. We refresh our phones so many times. We update the apps on our phones so many times. Which day did I call my friend and say, you know what? Come, let's just around 2 minutes. Let's just press the refresh button on our iman here, man. Let's just, you know, make our iman taza now. So these are the things should be really concerning us, worrying us, you know. Allah Ta'ala give me first tawfiq. I need it most. Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sallim. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluh wa laka ash-shukru kulluh. Allahumma rabbana atina fi dunya hasanah wa fil akhirati hasanah wa qina adhab an-nar. اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضا بالقدر برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله